Welcome to Crosstalk, coming to you from South Florida. Please like and subscribe. Well, if you like it, please subscribe because it helps support the podcast and share it to your friends. We are a nonprofit and our goal is to raise money for people in need and people who need scholarships for treatment and things like that. So we really have a good cause. We want to get the message of recovery out there and, you know, all joking aside, please share and comment what you think. Today, I have a very, very good friend of mine, old friend of mine, Valentino, is here. Thank you so much for coming. Welcome to Crosstalk.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I know most of your story, but sure. I'm so excited for you to share it with everyone. You know, I met you, almost like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So crazy. Oh, my God. And you had just, you were an alumni at the treatment center we went to.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to let you go ahead and tell your story. So tell me, where did you grow up? How did you grow up? We want to hear everything.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm from New Mexico, northern New Mexico, a little town in... called Taos.
Okay.
And so I grew up there. Honestly, my childhood was, you know, there was a few different things, you know what I mean, traumatic experiences in my life, I guess you could say. I come from, well, first I'm one of four. I'm the second oldest. I come from a pretty big family. Super loving, super supportive. And, you know, there's a ton of us. Mom's side, it's like all women. Dad's side, you know, all boys. So basically, my mom, she's an alcoholic. They had me pretty young, you know what I mean? My dad was like, when he was my age, he was already raising like a 6-7-year-old kid.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay.
Gosh, yeah.
You're still in your 20s. Ah!
Yeah. So my mom, you know, like her alcoholism or addictions, whatever you'd say, kind of started up when I was pretty little. And eventually she gave my dad, you know, full custody of me. And, you know, my dad being that young, you know, being a single father at the time, my grandmother also stepped in, my aunt stepped in to help, you know, kind of raise me. I did grow up on the reservation back home, you know what I mean? I have relatives, from there, you know what I mean? I am, Seminole. I'm from the Seminole tribe, but,
which I knew nothing about when I came down to Florida, you know, I'm from like North Jersey and I was really confused when everyone's like, oh, you know, I lived on the res. I'm like, what are they talking about? And I felt really uneducated, actually. So tell me a little bit more about how did that play a role into growing up and everything?
So, I mean, I actually wasn't even introduced to my reservation out here until I was like much older, right? So I grew up on the Pueblo back home and I went to actually a private school, private Native American like school, whatever. And, you know, some of like the best memories of my life, I'd say. It was a little bit hard because my dad is Hispanic. So going to school with like kids that are full-blooded Native, you know what I mean? I caught a lot of heat for that. So,
wow, really?
I did, yeah. And, but to be honest, you know what I mean? I was always pretty like a tough kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, raised by all Gemini women, you know what I mean? I'm like, you can't hurt my feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, there was that. And I think like, you know, we always like talk about, a lot of people are like, oh, I felt like different then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was probably one of the first things, you know, other than like my mom wasn't present. You know what I mean? So it was like there I knew, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, so my mom isn't present. I'm different in that area. Right. And then going to this school with, you know, all Native American kids having a Hispanic father, you know, there also. So I felt different a lot of the time growing, you know what I mean? Like growing up, and even at school.
Right.
A lot of the time too, people would ask me like, "Where's your mom?" You know what I mean? "Where's she at?" And ask questions. And I do remember feeling a lot of like shame or like embarrassment around that. But that's I don't know.
You adapt.
I just yeah, just adapted.
Right.
And to be honest, like I started being I was a pretty like naughty little kid. Loved breaking the rules. Was get got in a lot of trouble, pretty early on.
How
And
old? So, what was your first memory of getting in trouble?
so like in school, I remember being in kindergarten writing like a curse word on the desk, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So that was probably like one of the first things. And I loved that. I remember loving the thrill of doing bad things. And I kind of just like gravitated towards the kids too that were kind of like me and had similar like lifestyles at home or whatever. And there was like one friend in particular, and we would just like fuel each other's fire, you know,
Got
and
it.
like we're just so naughty. And that carried on up until, you know what I mean, all the way to like eighth grade, because this school was from, kindergarten through eighth grade. So it kind of just got worse, you know what I mean? The teachers were trying to like separate us and put us in different classes, and that's kind of, you know what I mean, where it all began. I think, you know what I mean, from the jump, I was always seeking something to kind of feel like outside of
Right,
myself.
the thrill.
Very early on. So like it must have been around like fifth grade, I think, where I had started experimenting with weed. I was like 12, so like fifth or sixth grade is when I smoked weed for the first time. And then shortly after that is when I decided to, you know what I mean, like get drunk for the first time. And that was with like a really close relative of mine, both those experiences. And I remember with like the first time that I smoked weed, loving it, you know what I mean? I'm like, I love this, everything's funny, and of course, like I'm gonna do this like any chance I get. But like as a 12-year-old, like you can't really, it's like, where are you gonna get
Yeah, I
weed?
was
You know what I
gonna
mean? So it
it's
was
hard.
like, yeah. And but you know what I mean? Like, so on my dad's side of the family, people, they drank like it's a normal thing, you know what I mean? Like after work or for like special events, you know what I mean?
And your dad's from where?
New Mexico.
Oh, he is from New.
Yeah. And mom's side of the family though is like completely different.
But
Nobody
she's
drank.
also from New Mexico, so
She's
like,
also from New Mexico too, yeah. Mom's side of the family like does not drink at all, didn't smoke weed,
really?
nothing. Yeah.
So she was kind of the oddball out.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, now like my cousins, you know what I mean? They'll like go out and stuff and they're normal.
So I have a question. And I'm just really want to be corrected in my thinking if I'm wrong, but down here I've heard, and my understanding is that like there's a lot of alcohol and drugs on the reservation. Like it's very prevalent.
Yeah.
Is that the same case in New Mexico on the reservation? Or not as much?
I feel like not as much. Like,
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I'll just be real with you right now. I think like because as a Seminole, you know what I mean? Like there's more money here than there is on the
I was
res
gonna
back
ask you if it was a
home.
money thing.
Yeah, there is
Isn't
definitely
that crazy?
alcoholism. Yeah. But also it's like as a Seminole, I've been so just like I guess blessed to be able to, you know what I mean? I had so many more opportunities to get sober than like say people back home, because they don't have a lot of resources, the same resources as like we do out here. But I definitely grew up and it's like you would see people, you know what I mean? And a lot of my friends too that I grew up with are kind of like in it, So yeah, I mean, dad's side of the family, it's like the men would drink like after work or like I said, special occasions, you know what I mean? Like weed here or there. So the first time I got drunk, I think it was for my my grandfather's memorial or something. And there's a kid cooler with sodas and water, the adult cooler. And we're taking beers and stuff, and we're like, all right, you know what? We came up with this master plan. We're gonna get a bag, this backpack, and we're just gonna
Fill up the cool. Fill
fill it up. So we fill it up, and I remember we went and we sat in this old broken down truck, and my grandpa's filled. And I mean, I was so young too. I didn't even I didn't know how to drink. I'm like, I don't know how much I'm supposed to drink to even fill anything. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, so I just started drinking, and before you know it, I
You're
felt
drunk.
something. Yeah, I'm drunk. And that was the first time I remember being like, okay, I want to feel this way all the time, you
Wow,
know?
yeah.
And that was at like I said, 12 years old. So going forward, you know what I mean? It was just any opportunity that I got, you know what I mean? I wanted
Drink.
to drink.
And you were able to find it because, people around you were drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and then as we got a little bit older, I started hanging out with little older kids or people that smoked weed. And started doing you know what I mean? Just that. I think I was 13. I remember being 13 and trying my first Oxy at the
Oh,
time.
wow.
Yeah, I was pretty
That's
young.
young.
And me and my friends, like I was saying, as I was just I got a little bit older, we learned how to steal alcohol from the grocery store. You know, so we got
Yeah.
really good at that, and we were stealing liquor from the grocery store at 12, 13 years old. And then on the weekends, we'd tell my, you know what I mean? It was one friend is like, oh, I'm staying here, we're staying there. You know what I mean? Just
Yep, I did. We did that.
yeah, completely lying as to where we're at. Meanwhile, you know what I mean? I'm at some house, you know what I mean, with people in their 20s.
Right. I can't believe they let you
No,
hang out with
well,
them.
literally, that's the other thing too. I hung out with
Older
older
kids.
older people,
Yeah.
and I don't know if they just got a kick out of, you know, us being drunk or something, but we were partying with people that were way older than us.
Right. Well, if you're down to party, I don't think they care, right? I mean,
Yeah,
as long as you're down to party.
exactly. And so I was getting blackout drunk by the time I was again 13. And I remember one of my cousins, actually, she caught on pretty quickly. She was like, why are you always getting blackout, and you drink so much more than us, you know what I mean? You always throw up, and what's up with the pills, you know what I mean? You have a problem, you know what I mean? She
Ooh,
knew at
she called you out.
she called me out, and I remember being so upset with her, you know what I mean?
You hate that
How are, yeah, I'm
person.
like, don't like I'm like, don't ever say that again. You know what I
Right.
mean? Please don't say that again.
Don't kill my vibe.
Exactly. And somehow, I mean, I knew I had a problem too. Only because I remember that obsession, right? And the panic of being I need something to feel better. And you know, even at a young age, right, with drugs and alcohol, I was constantly seeking something to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
So not having that, right? And then panicking, I knew there was I was different, right? My friends and my cousins and stuff could, you know, it was something we did on the weekends or every so often, and I was just constantly
All the
seeking it
time.
all the
Yeah.
time. You know, and by the time the summer after eighth grade came, it was just
Oh, you're 14. Oh, yeah,
yeah, I was
four,
probably like
around
14.
14, eighth grade, ninth grade. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just partying again every weekend as pretty young kids. And now I see kids that are that age, and I'm like, that's a baby. You know what I mean?
I
That's
know,
so little.
right? I
And I
know.
thought I was so grown,
I
you know
know
what I
you
mean?
think you're so grown. I was
Yeah.
like, I'm like an adult.
Right. And I look back at pictures of myself, and I'm like, dude, you didn't even look 14. You
I
looked
was
like
going
10.
out in this in New York City and getting into the hot spot. There was a place called Chaos, and
No.
I was 14, and Chaos was like where like the Sex and the City people, let's say it was like back then, would go, let's say. It was like the spot, you know? And I couldn't believe it. Like now I think about that. And it's funny because the promoter is in recovery now. He's an interventionist.
No way.
I found him and I was like, Mike? I was like, wait, what? And I don't think he remembered who I was exactly, but I remembered him. I was like, you used to let me in places when I was like 14. He was like, yeah, I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. I mean, we do those things, like just get away with it.
Yeah. And we, you know what I mean? Like I learned to just like lie and manipulate my way through so many things at that age. And, you know, so again, it was like my dad knew, right? Like we would get caught here or there and I would, you know, have consequences. And I think he was really trying to figure out what I was up to because I had got like pretty heavy into like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I remember him like he was trying to figure it out. And by the time like ninth grade came that winter, I experienced my first overdose. So, you know, my family was like, all right, you know what I mean? We know that it's way more than like what we thought.
Right. And opiates are scary. And that time, what year was that?
2009, I think, 2010.
Oh my God, I know. That's
it is what?
I know, it's wild. So that was like pill mill time.
Yeah.
So they were easy to get.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, they were like doing pills at that time, you know what
I mean? Yeah, that's the time.
Yeah. And
that's when OxyContin wasn't addictive.
Yeah.
Stop. I can't.
Yeah.
That's not even funny, but it's like scary that people believed that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember my dad, like, they read him the toxicology report, and he was just like, how did you get that? I didn't even know what an opiate was. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was just doing them.
Yeah, of course.
And so they were like, how did you get like what? You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. I don't know. Like I take, you know what I mean? Anything that was gonna like
make you feel outside yourself.
Yep, I was doing it. And so my family, they put me on like lockdown. You know what I mean? And
so no treatment or anything like that. They just like punished you.
Yeah. So they put me in. I remember seeing a therapist, and I don't even know how long that lasted. And that was like the first time I remember people being like, "You're a drug addict." I'm like, "No, I'm not." Like, because I don't do what other people do. Like,
right. You know of course. What I mean? Right.
And that was the first time I remember like hearing those words. And so, like, I did the therapy. I probably went, like, twice. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Not long ago. Today, I'm just like, I love it. Back then, you know what I mean? I was just like,
I love my therapist.
Me too. I'm like, it's not a punishment for me.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, lockdown, all eyes on me.
And you're in high school, basically.
I'm in high school, and I think my dad did, you know what I mean? He, like, let up a little bit and was like, all right, you can go to your best friend's house after school, and, like, we won't be too harsh on you.
Mm.
And, you know, one of us had, like, a bottle of whiskey somehow, so by the time I got picked up, like, I'm completely trashed, right?
Wow.
My dad is, he's super, you know, he's
all figured it out.
Yeah, he was mad. I mean, like, we were, like, I remember, like, walking up the driveway, like, stumbling, and, you know, like, I had just gotten out of the hospital, too, probably, like, not even, like, probably, like, 2 weeks prior.
Wow.
Yeah.
He let up pretty fast, then.
Yeah.
That was, like, yeah, I get it.
It was my poor dad. I'm like...
Well, thank God you have a great relationship with him today.
Yeah. 100%. So, you know, then going forward after that incident, it was like for real lockdown. You know, you can hang out with your friends like in the living room in front of the adults. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I did, you know what I mean, was doing all right for a little while there. But by like the summertime, I was probably like 15 and, you know, was like introduced to cocaine at 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the time like my sophomore year of high school came, me and like a couple friends anything that we could do to, you know what I mean, whether it be like pills or coke, like, you know what I mean, we're trying to get it, you know,
right,
whether like,
so you're still doing both opiates and now you're, yeah, doing uppers, you're just like going crazy
and I started experiencing.
Would you say there's a big culture in New Mexico? I mean, I feel like drugs are everywhere, fine, but like, would you say where you grew up, like, I can say that in North Jersey where I grew up, it's like really rampant. Like, half the people in my brother's year have died of an overdose. Like, so many people in that I know and where, and, you know, are in not great shape, you know, mm-hmm, or have died or have got, or go to have gone to rehab or whatever. Would you say that's similar to your area, or was there just like one group that you'd say that was like not?
Actually, I mean, no, it is pretty similar.
Rampant.
Like, it's just, it's changed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it'd be like,
so it's just everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, back then, you know, I was doing a lot of pills, doing a lot of coke, yeah,
and you're like barely, I mean, you're 15.
Yeah.
You're a baby.
Yep, I was a baby. And like, I was bad. That's when I started really experiencing like consequences too. It was like that year I really just was like, went wild, you know. And
did you ever get in trouble with the law?
Yeah, this is like where it had all started. That year, you know, like, I was getting in fights, I'm getting in trouble for smoking at school, drinking at school, you know, not going, there was like, you know what I mean, I would rarely even go. My dad would drop me off, I'd hop the fence.
Yeah.
And you know, so I got in a lot of trouble. I mean, it started with like one referral to the probation office where she was like, and it was non like drug related. So she was like, okay, like, you know, you're on probation for 3 months. I want you to come to this group once a week and check in with me once a month. And like, you're good. So in between like then and, you know, the next time, there was like 6 referrals, I think, to, oh, wow, yeah, to the probation office. So it like, 6 different charges.
And that's at your school?
That's at my school. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so I'm getting, you know, all these different like drug charges and stuff as a minor. And I think, you know what I mean, after like the 6th one, they send it to the DA's office and they're, oh, like, wow, yeah, then I had to go to court. So I got expelled from every school in my county.
Oh my God. You're such an angel, though, I thought.
I know. And like, you know what I mean? I think that's where people, you know, because I'm,
it's
so
crazy. You're so good. Like, ever since I've known you, you're like quiet, sweet, shy.
Yes.
Like, so well-mannered. You would never think. Like, I would never think if I didn't know you and like know, like, you know, where we met.
Right, exactly.
I don't think.
No, and everybody, you know, they say that too, because I really am. I think
you're charming.
I mean, yeah, like that, the core of me, you know, with off drugs and alcohol, sober me, you know what I mean? It is like, you know, I'm a sweetheart, you know what I,
yeah,
mean? Like all these,
so
like
sweet,
good things. And,
yeah. Generous, all of it.
Right. And, but when, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm in that, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, fighting, like, I don't fight people, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't even imagine. I really can't even imagine you fighting someone for,
yeah,
real.
Yeah, today, no, it's not happening.
But, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, knowing you, it's crazy to me when you tell me these stories. Like, I just don't picture little Tina like that. You're not little Tina, but like, it's crazy, yeah, to me. You are to me, you know.
Yeah. So, where was I? Oh, I got
you.
Expelled.
Yeah, oh, you were expelled. You went.
Yeah, and I remember trying to like argue with them when I had to like go in there, and I was like, can't you just give me another chance, you know what I mean? They're like, no, like, we've never had anybody get more than like 3 referrals. You've had 6, you, yeah, know what I mean? I'm like, man. So
did your like dad try to pay your way out of it? Like, was that a thing? Did you try to do any of that?
No, my dad was, I mean, he was pissed at me. He was just like, no, you know what I mean, consequences, right, like, you know, took my phone. It was just like, I was, yeah, in a lot of trouble. you know, so I have to go to court, right? And the district attorney was basically like, I don't like you. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what? And so,
you don't find me charming? What?
Right. And no, well, they wanted to give me 2 years in a juvenile prison.
I was going to ask you, have you ever been to juvie?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time.
I didn't know that.
But, you know, I'm like.
Or maybe I did. But
maybe. I don't know. But yeah,
I did. I mean, like when you meet someone like, and when you're older, those things aren't important, you know?
Yeah.
So what was that like?
That, I mean, I was scared. I'm like 2 years.
Is that a lot like a lockdown situation?
Yeah, and I've known kids that, like, you know, back in the day that went there. It's literally just like it's a prison but for kids. Oh, wow. And luckily
but you
I
do
didn't
school.
Yeah, I'm sure they would like do school and stuff in there too, but I, you know, I lucked out. They were like, "We're giving you 2 years of drug court." And so I'm like, "All right." You know what I mean?
Were you not doing drugs for 2 years then?
No. I was
no I, like you were doing drugs
I was doing
you,
drugs
how well, does that work?
Well, okay, so on drug court you have to basically everything I do today, right, like go to meetings, go to work, different stuff like that is kind of what they wanted me to do. And
but you just didn't do it.
I just didn't do it. And you get a you choose a color and you have to call every night, and if they call your color you have to go in for a UA.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. So like the amount of time that I spent like trying to pass UAs, I really could have just like
gone to a meeting. Yeah.
And like been done with it.
It's
know?
So much easier.
So much easier. And so
but you liked the thrill of getting away with it, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I did. And I didn't. I was like, I was not going to like buckle down and like do this thing. So anytime you would get, you know, fail a UA, you would get sanctioned, you know? And so at first it was like community service. And then, you know, the second time it's like a night in juvie, you know, and it just like goes up from there. So back then it was like, I was in and out of the detention center so many times, right? Wow. I'd get out, call my friends and like,
Do it again. So did you graduate high school or was that like, did you get your GED later on? Like what?
So I actually ended up later on getting my GED. Mm-hmm. Drug court had sent me to like a treatment center in Colorado. I was probably.
So you did go to treatment finally. Were they like this? He needs something more.
Yeah.
And that was your first time?
That was my first time.
How old were you?
I think I was like 16 or 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I went there. It was this, you know, treatment center in Colorado
for adolescents.
And it was like, it was so strict, but like, I mean, for 7 months, that was the first time since I was like 13, right? The 7 months that I was there that I hadn't touched drugs or alcohol.
Amazing.
Yep. I got my GED. I got certified, like a certification in welding.
Wow. I didn't know that. Yes. That's like an incredible skill to have actually.
Yeah. I mean, and it's something I could have like taken, you know what I mean? Like really done something with. Yeah. And I'd like squandered it, you know what I mean? But whatever.
I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, you're right, you don't know. I could still, you know what I mean, probably do something with it if I wanted, but
I don't know about manual labor, but anyway.
I mean, I know, yeah, today I don't do that, but
so you were in Colorado, you got your GED, and then so what is the road from now? You're like 17, right?
Yeah, so I'm like 17 at this point. I got out and you know, I'm like, all right, now I can like enroll into college classes. Like,
did you have the intention of staying sober? Like, were you like, this is great? I feel good.
Yeah. Like in the beginning, I really had the intention of just like doing better. And I remember, you know, having to go speak to my PO and just like really wanting to like move forward with my life. And of course, like that wasn't the case, you know? And, I learned how to like finesse their system. And, I went like 2 weeks without doing a UA and they just like didn't catch on until they did.
Right.
And, whole time I'm getting trashed, you know?
Yeah. So still opiates?
Opiates, cocaine, drinking. And
you're back in New Mexico.
Yes.
I'm just trying to get a visual of...
Yeah, okay. Back in New Mexico. And everybody thought I was doing good, you know?
Were you going to meetings or anything like that? Saying you were...
Well, yeah, I would say that I would go to these meetings. And I had met, like, another friend there that was around my age. And we would, like, show up to these meetings, not go in, and, like, forge the signatures on my paper.
Right.
You know, everybody thought I was sober, doing the right thing. I wasn't, you know? They finally caught on that I had not done a UA in 2 weeks. And they put me on house arrest.
Okay. And you're not in college at this point?
No, I never.
Okay.
Never signed up.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. So they put me on house arrest basically. And that lasted, I don't even know, probably like a week. And I cut my ankle monitor off, and I went on the run for a month.
Oh, shit. You know,
yeah, for about a month.
God, you're a fugitive.
I know. I really was. No, I really was. Like, they
This is, like, not like the kid I know today. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've known you, what, for 8 years now? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're naughty kind of thing, but, like, not that kind of, not this bad. Oh, right. My God.
I mean, today I'm such a rule follower. I'm like, I cannot.
You know what I mean? There's no way I can. It's so funny to me. If I were to stereotype you, right, and see you, like, I'd be like, okay, maybe he's a bad guy, all the tattoos, like, you know, bad guy, whatever. But, like, then you get, like, you know? So it's so funny to me that you're such a bad guy.
Yes. So here I am. I'm a fugitive, like, of the law at, like, 17. And my dad actually, you know, he pulled up to where I was at and made me turn myself in.
I love your dad.
Yeah. So they end up sending me back to Colorado. And this time I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I was like so rebellious, running away from this place. You know, me and my buddies we'd run away and we'd go into town and, you know, steal whatever we could from the grocery store. And, you know, they'd pick us up. Cops would bring us back. We're intoxicated. And I had ended up turning like 18, I think, in there. So when I turned 18 and they realized that like I kept, you know, going AWOL from this place and coming back like drunk, they're like, yeah, we think you really actually have a problem with substances and alcohol or whatever, you know. And they're just like,
oh, so this wasn't a treatment center for alcohol? It was.
I mean, it was, but it was more like behavioral.
Oh, okay.
And they, you know what I mean? They try to help us with like the drug and alcohol stuff, but it was.
But they think it's really behavioral, like acting out stuff. Okay, not like addiction, like serious.
Yeah.
Well, not that it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they basically were like, yeah, no, you have a problem. So we're going to send you somewhere that really focuses on like drugs and alcohol. And they sent me to Florida. And I'm 18 at this point.
Wait, is this where we went?
No. Okay. No, not yet. But they sent me to a treatment center it was actually in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And it was a treatment center that my tribe actually used to own. And that's where I got integrated with, you know what I mean? My tribe here.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I started meeting a lot of other tribal members, being involved with like their recovery program that they have.
It's very serious, their recovery program. I remember, you know, you remember like I had a roommate who was a Panther too. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. And so, you know, met a lot of my family and stuff out here. And like, so it was really special, you know what I mean? Like really cool. And, got more involved with like meetings and stuff and
did you feel more connected here?
So much more connected. And I loved it, you know. But that only lasted like so long because I ended up like getting a call from my PO where I had to check in with her, you know, because I'm still on probation and everything in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I called to like check in with her and she was like, drug court terminated you from the program. So like, I'm not holding you. Congratulations.
You're free.
You're free. Yeah, I'm free. And even back then, I remember being like, I wanted to stay here. I wanted to really now like go to college and just
get sober.
Get sober. Yeah. And As soon as I heard I was free, all that was like out the window. All I could see was like back home, my friends, you know, and yeah. I was gone like the next day. You know what I mean? And yeah. So I got home and immediately was like back to it.
And then you came back here?
Yeah. So I ended up coming back here like later on, you know, after just a whole bunch more of like
the same
stuff. Same thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just got progressively worse, you know, like harder drugs, really like the wrong crowd. And when I say like the wrong crowd, this was like really like the not people that you'd want to hang out with. You know, I got involved with like gangs and stuff.
Were you selling drugs, things like that?
I mean, I wasn't personally, but I definitely was like, I you know, I lived in like trap houses and
yeah,
and whatever, yeah, you know what I mean? And hung out with people that did sell drugs.
Where I was going, they weren't calling it a trap house, but like, if right, it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you know.
100%.
I mean, they were calling them after hours.
Yeah.
So they love were that. Like really chic.
Love that.
Yeah. Everyone's dark and like nodding out, you know, yeah. So you know what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, you know, it increased. It got worse.
Yeah.
My consequences got worse. You know, experienced a lot. My family also at a certain point was kind of just like over it. They.
But were you ever working or anything? Like
never.
No.
No.
You just were able to keep going.
Yeah.
Why didn't anyone cut off your monetary supply?
I mean, they did. They finally did once I ended up coming, you know, out here to Florida back in. So this was like 2015 when I got to. Came back to Florida. And
yeah. And that's when you went to Karen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd went somewhere else first and then to Halfway. Got kicked out of there, you know what I mean? Had money to like get an apartment, and that's when the yeah. tribe was like, yeah, well, you know what? Like, we're tired of like putting you in detoxes and different treatments and stuff, and like you just not getting it. You know, like, we're tired of spending the money on you, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was cut off, you know, and I'm like, what do I do now? You right, know what I mean? I was
yeah.
like, nah, I was freaking out. And they kind of gave me the option of being like, okay, you can go back to the other place or you can go to a new place. And I'm like, I caused way too much trouble in this other place. You right. know what I mean? So I'm not going there. I'll go back to this. I'll go to this new treatment center, you know, where I can play the treatment game.
Mm. And,
right. Manipulate yeah. my way through
sure.
it. Yeah. And
the Olympic size swimming pool.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. And they're, you know, and they told me.
They're selling like, it to you.
Yep. And they're like, 30 days. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be 30 days. I get there and it was funny because actually one of my cousins from, you know, here in Florida was, they put us in the same house. Mm. So I get in there, it was like a weekend and I'm like, my cousin's there and I'm like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
why? Was he like, yeah, and it's not 30 days, it's 84 to life.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was like, he's like, how long did they tell you that you have to like stay here? And I'm like, only 30 days, you know, yeah. I mean, it's whatever.
Everyone's
like,
so adamant about it. Too.
Right, right. Exactly. And I'm like, he was like, no, like, he's like, you don't even know, like, the can of worms you've opened, you know? And I'm like, what? And so when I get there, you know what I mean? I get to like the groups and stuff and just like not compliant, and it made my life so much worse.
Yeah. Right?
And like, I didn't, you know what I mean? I really thought 30 days, I stayed there probably like a little under a year.
Do you feel like you did a lot of work there though?
100%.
Are you like, I know it's been a long time and there's been like bumps in the road and things like that, but do you think that like a lot of your foundation was built there, or do Absolutely. You think that it's like a little bit of each place? Like what changed basically? Because I know there's been bumps in the road, but like really I feel like you were really open to doing it
yeah.
At some point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, I really was kind of just like, I started, you know what I mean? They really challenged me and pushed me to do a lot of things that I wasn't used to doing. I remember having like this belief that I was so incapable of doing normal adult things. And they pushed me, you know what I mean? They challenged me to like do these things. So I started, you know what I mean? I saw this like change in me where I'm like, wait, I can actually make my own appointments. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And simple things like that, you know? And at first I didn't want to get a job. You know, I remember throwing like a huge fit. I did not want to get a job. But I got a job and worked at the Pancake House. That was my first job ever. I think I was like, yeah, like 21. And you know what I mean? Like, I think I just started growing as like a person. You know what I mean? I found you launched. Like, yeah. I had a little bit more confidence. You know what I mean? I was surrounded by people, like sober people, and, you know, learning how to have fun in sobriety. Stuff like that really started tapping into like my creative side, and decided like, you know, I'm like, I want to go to school for makeup.
Yeah.
And started going to school for that. And, you know, eventually I moved out of halfway, all that. Started drinking with my friends from beauty school. We'd go down to Fort Lauderdale. And yeah. I think this was like around the time that I'd met you. Because I had moved into an apartment.
Not in yet. Delray. I met you, I think you were still in halfway.
Still in halfway?
Yeah, because you weren't drinking yet.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But I, so I remember moving into this apartment. Yeah, because I had finished the whole like beauty school thing. And I don't know, at some point I started drinking, and eventually I found myself like in this like seedy Florida motel room, you know what I mean, partying all night.
Right.
And I remember just being like, I gotta get out of here. You know what I mean? Sun's coming up. I was just like, I gotta go. Only thing to come down, you know what I mean? There's this bottle of alcohol. I remember drinking the bottle of alcohol, calling my Uber, going to our friend's house.
Yeah.
And the sun's coming up, and I'm like, please answer, please answer, you know? And she opens the door, and I'm like, wasted. And she's just like, go to sleep, you know?
Right.
And
she was like our mom.
Yeah, she was. And then I remember waking up, you know what I mean? I wake up to like our whole like friend group there, and I'm like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I don't remember what happened after. Did you go back to treatment?
I ended up going to, I think I did, probably like an IOP or something. Yeah.
Something. I think you did go back to IOP. Yeah. So since then, what do you think is different this time? Like, what has, what have you learned in, like, the past few years? Just kind of, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like you want this, right? When I talk to you, you're, like, you know, feeling good. You're, you just got a house. You did all this stuff. Like, what do you feel is different this time?
I mean, this time, like, I've really, one of my biggest things was always thinking, you know, I would romanticize a lot of, like, the good times.
Yeah. And, meanwhile, they're not good.
No, not at all. They suck because it really stopped. It wasn't even fun at a certain point. And, you know, my mind would always like tell me like, oh, like you can, you know what I mean? Do it like a normal person.
Right. Or smoke a joint.
Exactly.
Or do, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And so that I really had to like, you know, be like, no, you can't. They're like, nowhere ever will you be able to.
It's hard, I think, to accept the fact that like we're not the same as others. Yeah. You know, I think for me that was like the number one thing that I had to do. Like, first of all, I had a lot more time using than you, right? I was like double your age, like not really double your age. Okay, fine. I'm like making myself into a grandma, but a lot older than you. And like, I feel like I had done it. I partied. I this. I that. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that I needed to do this, right? But I early on accepted that I was different. I was like, okay, I really am different. Like, it sunk in. Like, I knew I was, because like all my friends were able to do what I was doing, but then able to work, able to have a family, able to this, able to that. Like, they had like moved on with life, and I was just like it was like, girl, go home. You know what I mean? Like, the party is over. Go home. But I couldn't. I had to be, like, days later.
No, literally. And
begging the DJ to come back, you know, like, go home.
Exactly. It was a big part of that, you know what I mean, was accepting that I'm not, you know what I mean, like, my normal friends or, you know what I mean, people that can do that.
Do you miss it at all?
No.
I know.
Never. Even when I'm, like, I go to shows and stuff and I'm just like, yeah, I don't miss that.
Yeah.
You know, little baggies come out and I'm just like, you're going to feel like crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't miss it.
I get it.
But, you know, I think that was, like, one of the things for me, right? Like, all my friends were like doing all these things, you know what I mean, and here I am, like, still trying to, like, beat this thing, like, where finally I remember it was just like God bringing me to my knees and being like, I surrender.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like, I can't do this anymore.
So what happened in the past, like, 2 years ago, I guess, that made you, what was, like, the culminating events that got you back into, because you're a year and a half now sober, which is amazing. And, like, what got you back on this, like, train?
Well, so really, you know, what happened is, like, I got involved, you know what I mean? Like, started, like, building on my career and, you know, kind of building my life up. And, you know, those thoughts came in, like, I can drink like a normal person. You know, I cannot, right? And it was so quickly, all of my life was just like apartment gone, you know what I mean, car
totaled,
you know what I mean, totaled, career, you know what I mean, like, it's
just not garbage, everything kind of crumbled.
Yeah. And I found myself back in the same, you know what I mean, position where I'm just like, oh God, you know. And so after, like, 7 years, I went back to treatment, and
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Here in Del Rey. It's called Rico.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Of course. They do great work, too.
Great place. Yeah. I honestly, like,
I've gone to, like, some trainings there, like, recovery coach stuff.
Yeah. No, so, you know what I mean? I ended up, It was really hard, honestly, and I had gotten so close with my, you know, my boss at the time. Like, she took me in at a time where, like, I think I had, like, 2 days sober, you know. Yeah. She took me under her wing and, like, mentored me and really, like, showed me everything that I know. And it was really hard, you know what I mean, when I relapsed, because it was just like, man, I felt like I was letting down, like, everybody, you know what I mean? It's just so much shame and all these different things. And it was like, it was really difficult. And I was scared, you know what I mean? When I went back to treatment, I didn't know what I was going to do, you know what I mean? Where I was going to go from there. And, you know, from the past, learning in the past, I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I start praying and I'm just like, willingness, you know what I mean? Like, just give me the willingness. And I got a new sponsor, and who's, like, my best friend today. He's not my sponsor anymore, but he still is one of my really good friends. And, you know, I remember him just telling me, like, Tino, like, guys like us don't have the luxury of doing a little. And, you know, so when it comes to this work, you know what I mean? It's like, I got to do a lot. And I really kind of just, like, hopped in with people that were, you know, doing the thing, you know, and really had to put my pride and ego aside and just, like, you know, I'm going to follow the leader. And
oh my God, I see. You know, I love that expression, follow the leader, because that's all I did. I was like, okay, like, Nancy, my sponsor, I was like, follow the leader, follow this woman, whatever she says, I will do, you know. And it worked.
And exactly, you know, because I'm like, if it's working for these people, then, like, I'm just gonna do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, coming back into the rooms, it was actually really, it was difficult.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm like, man, this time around, like, I really had to, like, work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For it. And
so what does your program look like today? Like, what a program, you know what I mean? Like, what does your life in recovery look like?
My life in recovery today, honestly, is, like, it's not even so much about the, like, don't pick up, you know what I mean? Yeah. In the beginning, it's like, mm-hmm. don't pick up no matter what. And today, you know, it's really just, like, building upon my, like, spiritual connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, working on things as they crop up. Even like, I feel like the more that I stay sober, the more that different like defects and stuff like present themselves.
Oh, I know.
You know? Mm. And so it's like,
I thought I took care of that.
Exactly. What's you know what I mean? Here? I thought I was good. Like, yeah. You know, and that was my problem in the past. I thought I was immune. Right. You know what yeah. I mean? It's like, I'm not immune. I got to continue this work. Yeah. And, you know, so today things come up and I'm like, I'm able to identify them though. And I have this awareness, like, all right, this is something you need to work on. Right. Like, why am I doing these things? And you know what I mean? Trying to like really just doing the internal work. And, yeah. You know, hopefully helping people along the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I ask people on all of these podcasts, my question is, if you could go back and tell younger Tino, just say, give him a message, something, how old would that Tino be and what would you say?
Ooh.
How far back are we going?
Probably like, I would say like 17.
Okay.
And I would tell myself to like, just listen, you know, everybody's right. They're all right.
Yeah.
You're wrong. They're right. Right. Just listen.
Right.
You know, cause I think that's when I was my most stubborn. It was at that age. And I just thought everybody was wrong.
Of course. And of course.
I'm like, I could have saved so much. You know what I mean? Not, or maybe I did need to go through some of the harder things.
You do need to go through all of it. I mean, I don't regret any of it. You know, yeah. I definitely think that it all had to happen the way it did for me to be where I am today. And I'm just like, I'm in a good place, man. You know, like I have moments. Don't get me wrong. Like 2 months ago, I was like upset about, you know, a little depressed and everything. But like it ebbs and flows. Right. I have to pull through. But walking through it like sober is so much easier than exploding my whole life and starting from zero. Like you see, I have my dogs, like, and they're my children. You know, so like I can't start from scratch. I'll lose everything.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, exactly.
Because I'm like, throw it all away, get on a plane and go live in another country type of person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I can't. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm like, man, like even when, you know, like today, when life shows up and things are bad, like life is still good. You know, yeah. Like my life is still good. Even yeah. when things happen and I'm like, man, like what a blessing that is to have that like mindset.
Yeah, know? Seriously, I'd be grateful for what we have.
100%.
Thank you so Absolutely. Much.
Thanks for having me.
Is there anything you want to add? Did you not tell us?
I don't think so. I think I think that's about it.
The nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
Well, I'm so glad you showed up, and this is the most important time of the podcast. We're gonna hug.
Yay! I love that.